Praise God. You don't mind? Since I'm going to be a chapel speaker too, I'll just say it right up to chapel time. It gives us an hour now. Praise the Lord. Remember yesterday we left you with two questions to think over. And one was, let me see how to phrase it. A church be planted or matured without the apostles and prophets. Number two, could a church, the first question is, could a church be planted or matured without the apostles and prophets? Number two, could a church be set up or started without the fivefold? Those are two questions that we raised at the end of yesterday's morning session. We need to consider those questions, for they are relevant to church planting and a fivefold ministry. And I'm sure you have been thinking about that from time to time. And we would like to hear some of your responses. Praise the Lord. Any volunteers? You thought very carefully this question, and you want to offer some of your suggestions in your theories, your hypotheses. Praise God. Any volunteers? Or if you like to volunteer somebody to answer for you. Question number one. Could a church be planted or matured without the apostles and prophets? Bearing in mind the scripture we brought for yesterday in Ephesians 2, verse 20, that the apostles and prophets are the foundation and Jesus is the cornerstone. You know it cannot be done, everything cannot be done without Jesus. That was absolute. No one denied that. Anyone who denied that, we need to see you after the class. Nothing can be done without Jesus. And our question is not that. There's a question that unbelievers will find hard to understand. See, unbelievers believe that they can do things without God and without Jesus. And when you come to know Jesus, you're born again, you're saved, you understand that you can't do anything without Jesus, or how much you need to depend on Him. And we go to a more specific question. Can a church be planted without apostles and prophets, seeing that they're the foundation, Jesus is the cornerstone? And of course, the second question, can it be done without the fivefold ministry? Yes, early. Another question. Okay. Correct. These are some questions Valin has brought up, some examples of some churches that apparently don't even have a pastor. They have what you would call lay leaders. And you will find that there's no such thing as no leader. That is, in a sense, an impossibility. So even they don't seem to have these two, they have lay leaders. And our next question is, are these lay leaders in those categories, but they haven't come in? Were you going to say that when your hand was coming up? Any other question? And I know, like, some of the church at Bali and many FS Methodists and all that, some of their growth came because of outside speakers coming in. You still find the same. You cannot run away from the principles of God. We may bring it about in different styles, different ways, different methods, different organizations, but the basis is still always there. Even, let's say, SBA. You know, it's built not because of businessmen, built because of outside speakers. I've seen from the very inception of the church, watching it and fellowshipping with those people. I was not really from there, but I've been there. I mean, even before they moved to Majestic Hotel, I went with Auntie Lai, Auntie Singh, and Peter Chong, and Koo Kee Teng to have a look at the place. It was all dirty and dusty, even before they renovated. And it was Lee Ji Koon who renovated the place. I mean, I had the inside story of the whole thing. And I know the people that they first called, and outside speaker the first call when they first set up the church. And I know about those meetings even while they were in Auntie Lai's house. And even from there, when they first got the shop lot in section 17, and all these things. And that, in fact, when I preached in their church before, it was while they were in section 17, before they moved to Majestic Hotel. They depended on a lot of FIFO ministries coming in. Is that hand going up there? Praise God, we just shuffling your hair. Praise the Lord. Yes, Bernard.
Churches who are not moving in the charismatic circle, they have planted new churches, and in fact they are still doing it very successfully. One of the church is the Bible Church Nigerian Church. It's a fast-growing church in Singapore so far. They have planted many, many churches all over the island, in fact. Even in Indonesia and Australia and so on. So, I feel maybe they do not recognize the title of pastor, apostles and
whatever. Is there a person in the Bible Presbyterian Church by the name of Pua? By a surname Pua, one of the leaders? Yeah, Bible presentations. Okay, they just say, well, some of them that I knew.
I know Timothy
So is the same one who wrote about John Sung. Is he the same one? Timothy So wrote something about John Sung. Okay, Timothy So falls under this category. Whether he came full time or not, but he's a man who falls under that category. He wrote about John Sung, if I'm not wrong, or some of the, or he wrote Calvin Institute, and he also wrote about some Bonio work or something. I remember seeing his name in one of those books long, long ago when I was a seminary student. And he will come under, whether he's full-time or not, that one we don't consider. Whether he's got a salary or earning his own bread and butter, we don't consider that. Because we know we have gone to a five-fold that day, that is, even in Paul's time, that was not really considered. With the exception we understand today, it gives you more time when you're able to go all the way. But he does have indications of this. He will probably be a pastor teacher. Praise the Lord. Yes, they are. Sweet leadership. They have good leadership. Yes, Albert. Navigators, I know some of them. I was brought up under the navigators. And I was brought in the wheel system, etc. The moment I was born again, I was put into the navigator system and we had our farm. We learned the wheel system. And they have a system of lay teachers. And the person who was in charge of me was a person named Virgil. And he did a good job. He taught very well. And he also played a pastoral role. Whenever I am absent from church, he's the one who called me. Why didn't you come? What has happened to you? And when something crops up where etc., he'll come and visit our home and visit me. And we were part of, at that time before John the Baptist, I was born again in a CNEC church. It's basically a Chinese church. And the Chinese speaking was the main one, and they have an English outreach. So in the English outreach is our fellowship, etc. And we joined the Chinese service, one of the services where they interpret the services. And he was there attending the church. He was in charge of the follow-up system. And he trained a lot of people. I remember that under him was one Timothy, and then the Timothy became in charge of me. And so after some time, I left the church because of other reasons. This was a church that all my chess players brought me to. I was born again because of chess. I used to play chess whenever we are free, and one by one, the chess players were absent on Sunday. So I said, what do you do on Sunday? What happened to you? You used to play chess, and where are you? So they said, they attend church. Thank you. And so I say, well, I'll just join you. So I went there and they witnessed to me, and I believe it. I was not born again on that day, but sometime later I was born again. Subsequently, I was placed into that system, the follow-up system, and they have lay teachers and lay pastoral ministry. They're not at a level where they are full-time. From what I heard, sometime after I left and they continue and continue, the person who was in touch of me, whose name was Virgis, later on went full time. So what does that prove? He actually had a call and he was just developing his call. And so I was some of these little lambs who were brought up by his ministry. Not guinea pig, but little lambs. And he was setting up his ministry. So they were still existing, some of these five-fold ministries, in a different form, probably at the third fiddler. The third fiddler, many times, are not even full-time. The third fiddler, they could even exist without being full-time. They're five-fold, but they can exist without being full-time, because they're specialized jobs. Whether they are employed under a system where they're under the board, which they wouldn't mind. In fact, they don't want the whole responsibility. They just want to function in one area. Whether they're employed under the board or employed under some other secular organization and giving their time to serve in the ministry, to them it doesn't even affect them. Praise the Lord. It looks like some of you are answering the second question before the first question. It looks like many of you, as you look at study cases where they don't seem to apply, so we look closer, we found that you cannot deny that they are leaders and that they are lay leaders. And when examining the lay leaders, etc., you find that they actually are in a five-fold, possibly in a third fiddler, if they are lay people. People like Dr. Lin. I mean, he has a teaching ability. He has also a pastoral ability. I should say that he has a pastor teacher kind of gift. And he has been a medical doctor all his life, established himself. Remember the three lines that are there? The natural line, the spiritual line, and the ministry line. His is possibly going on up here and here, and when he finishes his retire, he probably come in here. He has a pastor teacher kind of concern. What's his name? Wee Peng has a pastoral kind of character. And so that although they are lay people, they are probably the third fiddler. I don't know. Like Pastor Peter said, you are the third fiddler. Praise the Lord. You must not take it out of context what we are teaching here. Third fiddler, five-fold. Because I use the word fiddler, but anyone who don't like me will go around spreading that he says that you're third class. First class, second class, third class. I don't use the word class. I mean, as far as God is concerned, all three are first class when they do His perfect will. We need terms. We need designations in order to understand truth. We've got to divide and conquer a complex theology. Divide it up into precepts, principles, or sub-points, and then we could understand it thoroughly. So there are situations that exist. Let me see. Pastor Aaron Tsai, right? I know most of his leaders. And people like Sebastian is one of the elders, has a pastoral ministry in that side. He possibly is a third fiddler's heart. And there's no doubt that I'm sure in his heart of heart, that when he finished all his computer programming work, he works in the computer side, that a day might come and whenever he retires, he's sure to think about helping the church in some way. Yeah. And remember that the top leadership must be the first fiddler. If you don't have and they are not around and it's already established work, if not established work, you need a first fiddler type of fivefold. So we don't only have fivefold, we have first fiddler, second fiddler, for want of a better word. The reason I use the word fiddle is because we know that there's the first violin, second violin, third violin. You need to know where you stand to harmonize with the symphony. And third fiddler. It's obvious that when you're playing solo, this one can go solo. But second and third are more accompaniment, addition. And when there's nothing, you need this. When there's something already established, then the second fiddler can come in. But the third always works. Some people are called to something. Some people are called to. Called to means you're called through a ministry. You're called through an organization. You're called through a need that is there. And you exist as long as the thing exists. Some people are called to, some are called through. First two are called to, last is called through. The mighty man of David would not be able to exist in their gifted state without David. They needed the gift of David to stir them up. After David died, we don't know how many others of them died. You don't hear much of them in Solomon's time. With, of course, knowing the fact that there was no war to fight. With the exception of Benaiah, who became the commander in chief over all the army. The rest of them seem to be in a state of semi retirement. You need to be called true. And we need to recognize our position in a fivefold, whether you're first fiddler, second fiddler, third fiddler. If you're third fiddler, you keep trying to play first violin all the time, you get out of God's perfect will. And you never succeed, you struggle all the rest of your life. Some people are called as support ministry. Now, below this support ministry is what I will call the other help area. It could be a secretary, and a clerk or whatever that works full time for this ministry. And so they have, even this area, they need a call of God. I believe that anyone who works with any ministry needs a call of God, even though it's a very secular word. They need a call of God into there. For example, my state ministry needs someone who is called fully to taking ministry. I know Pastor Richard and Dwight Inger are helping, but I know that they have a call to be pastors. And theirs is a temporary job, and for as long as the Lord leads them, while they are in a preparatory process, which may take a number of years, until one day the Lord says it's time to launch into fully in a pastoral area. But in the meantime, we have located someone who is just satisfied and who just enjoys being a tape ministry, who have no fivefold call but enjoys doing ministry work, etc., in a taping line. So to me, that is also necessary to in a category of a call. Because you don't take any funding and inherit from the secular level because they have the ability. When you do ministry work, you need a ministry anointing and a ministry vision, a ministry concept in order to fulfill it. Otherwise, you could just hire secular people to just do different things. Where the body of Christ cannot supply it, then temporary measure you can do, send it outside to the circular to get some natural things done and bring it back. But where you can, you keep it in the kingdom of God. So we definitely have come to an understanding, looking at all those things in detail, that you can't really set up a church for what it is without the fivefold. First, second, or third skedala. You can't really set it up. You can try to organize something, but it doesn't succeed. Sometimes a businessman who don't even have a qualification to be third skedala, just because they have the money, try to get a place, do something, never survive. All they have is a family in that place. It has to be a call. But if the businessman has a gift of sharing the word, teaching the word, then he's on the third skedala, and in the area of lay leader or lay teacher, lay pastor. And because of the gifting, he can draw some people around them. It's a gift that makes room for you. It's a gift that draws people around you. Yesterday in the afternoon session, I make mention that in the question which by Albert asked, the progression of ministry that a Bible school student should go through, anyone starts in ministry. And I mentioned my own life and talk about how I started with 10 people in the Bible study group, and that was all a teaching for a couple of years before I was recognized, before a small dog appeared. Put it this way, if you can't get 10 people to believe in your gift and your call, you can never get 100, and you can never get 1,000, you can never get 10,000. Right now when you're sitting in this room, my question is, do at least 10 people believe in the call and the gift in your life? Do at least 10 people draw from your gift? Do you know that all you need is 10 people and they support you with some tithes and offerings, and you could sort of get along to a certain extent? And with that, it can pull you through a certain realm of preparation until you're more prepared for the small doors realm. And slowly your ministry takes off. And sometimes you sit around in Bible school for 3 years from the time you go in to the time you come out, and you can't find 10 people who believe in the call in your life. If you can't convince 10, how can you convince 100? How can you convince 1,000? You must have that call group. And don't get in a hurry. Be faithful to the call group. Be faithful to the call group. And the call group must see and understand you, and they must recognize the thing. And if there's anything in your life that, because during those times, there are the raw years. Raw years means a lot of things that here and there that you got to correct here and in your own life. And personality, character, gifting develops, etc. A lot of raw things. These people that believe in you. The people that we have from early days are all still around. They're still very loyal. Mang Heng, Hannah, Yap Chi Muan, you see, good night. And I'm trying to call some man, with the exception of one, the one who I brought down to KL, and now his father is on church. And who are the other, there were a few other people in the call group. I just can't recall them. But some of them are still around. And I don't mean that when you have these 10 people around you who believe in you and who help you, and then after 2 years they get stumbled, all of them scatter, you move into small doors. No. If they were stumbled, something is wrong. If you constantly keep losing even those 10, maybe your personality hasn't changed. Do you know that every one of us have a band of mighty men around us? Of course, you have your share of persecution. You have your share of misunderstanding. You have your share of criticism. But there will always be a band of people who are very loyal around you. Where all else fail, they never fail. If you can't develop that band, I would say something is very wrong with you. You're probably a lone ranger without so-and-so and without a mask and without a hat, without a horse. Praise the Lord. Second Fidela Church people. Okay. Not from the Bible, but from the other example. Okay, let me begin to think about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. when you don't know what to say, you just get the melody coming out. Okay. Now, I would think that people like this church, Dr. Lin has a certain ability to go into second fiddle. He has a certain ability. Binary side, maybe a bit different. But he has a certain rank. I'm not sure how much he can have, but he has a certain ability. He's a person who you could do everything, build everything up, and you could say, can you please take care of this for me? And you can leave, and you can be sure you'll be taken care very well. And have such an ability. You can entrust something that is organized and build up to that person, second fiddler. I'm trying to think of a church. Most churches I can think of are all pioneers. Toronto Sing Church, all pioneers. Cho Yong Ji is a pioneer. A lot of churches are all pioneers. Come on. Yes? Oh, yes. Very good. Kenneth Hagin. Thank you. Kenneth Hagin's son is a second fiddler. Because don't travel all the way to the United States and say, you know, Pastor Peter Chan from Malaysia, you say you're second fiddler. Don't even tell him that. A lot of brethren churches are in the third generation. A lot of third generation and third generation church are in their second fiddle. Second and third generation are somewhere there. A lot of denominations are people in the second and third fiddler. The second and third fiddler are good at maintaining, but not so good at expanding. So the vast majority of denominational pastors are second and third fiddler. Not easy for them to push to expand to some new thing. But they could maintain and they could bring forth the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Kenneth Hagin Jr. will be a second fiddler. They maintain the school and they still expand further because they do it well, they still can expand. A second fiddler. Third fiddler, find how to expand. Second fiddler, know how to expand it. Third fiddler, maintain. Second fiddler, maintain and expand. So those would be some areas that are there. Now some of the second fiddler may actually be first fiddler in disguise. Like if you're good at playing second fiddle, there's a likely chance that you do and you are able to play first fiddle when the occasion demands. The gift could be there latent, not brought forth. You never know. And so neither are we classifying them and limiting them. We're just identifying them where they are. Some of them, like this charismatic guy, the Anglican church fellow, this Bernard. What's his name? 9 o'clock in the spirit, or what did he write? Dennis Bernard. He is almost a second fiddler type. But the Holy Spirit touched him and he moved into the pioneering area. And when he moved into that, he wanted to expand. Trevor Deering is another guy. In the second fiddler, moved into the first fiddler stage. And in his early days, you notice all these people when they are second fiddler, when they are, if some of them are third fiddler, when they got touched, they moved to second fiddler, they can begin to expand the church. And how did they do it? By inviting five-fold ministry. Trevor Deering began to invite Assembly of God, pastors to minister in the Anglican Church to maintain the call. And that's how he caught the anointing of God. And later he launched into his own ministry. The level where they can launch into their own independent ministry is a first fiddler state. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, they are. To different degrees. Yes. Yes. Possibly. Pastor William Moon was possibly a between the third and the second fiddler. When and if the Holy Spirit didn't touch his life, he probably may end up still there. As usual, when a new wine comes, that changes and you keep pushing him. Finally, when he started his church, he launched in the first fiddler. If he remained and kept there, he will be a second fiddler. Yes.
So, kind of facing a penalty, we can say that if a person has yet to enter full time, this state could already be apparent in their natural life.
Yes, that would be right. Before I was called to the ministry or realized my call, I was almost, you can say, naturally the youth president. Straight away the pastor, and I was just born again. 1 year. Straight away there was leadership ability that was very apparent. I could organize, I could do things, I could get the people together. It's just there. Even before God called me to the ministry. Even before I knew I was called. So the pastor and the youth and all that make me the youth president. So in charge of the Baptist youth. Yes. Yes. Or I would constitute that there is more ministry gift that is there because of my desire, but not really an office that I stand on. Yeah. No. In them. Yes. Correct. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. That's it, Allah. Because they bring very powerful high point in. Okay. If you attend MGA, just studying as a sample church, since you are just students studying everything, you find that people like Aunt Lai, Dr. Koh, have a natural leadership ability. For Aunt Lai, he also was a leader in ALC. And if you hear Aunt Lai pray and preach, he can really do it. Don't you think so? He has a gifting. And he also has a natural lawyer's ability. Lawyers know how to speak. And until I read the scripture, he really reads it very dramatically. When the Lord said, and he got his voice. I mean, very well. So he would, the natural abilities that are there have undergird the third fiddler situation. And there's no doubt that they have ability for you to move from third to the second. But whether if he retires and go out ministry, it's a different story. An independent thing, that's a different thing. It may be, it may not be. Right. So they have brought in very powerful fivefold. In fact, they have brought in the best. Among the best and the most famous. Because of the natural ability, they had the finances. They have the influence in the natural realm. I mean, of good reputation. Remember what the Bible says. Then the influence in the social realm. So it helps. Yes. Of the who? Okay. From time to time, they themselves recognize when they grew. The question is, if these two go out, go home, what will happen? It's an interesting study to make. Not that we want them to go home. I mean, they're doing a good job. They're really close to Jesus. They're happy for them. Right? But should they go home, It'd be an interesting study. And I have watched, because they know the fivefold is still necessary. In their system, the board is here, and the pastors are employees. We have a few of them. Some of them we know very well. What's the one who went to Singapore? There were many. There are many employees, pastors and help, employed to do different things. Plus, there are external people coming in. Jeanette McKee to help in Sunday school, right? Everyone say, oh, Sunday school. But there's a difference. It's important. And there's other important ministers coming in. And let me point to a fact here. Lawrence Kong, he says in Singapore. I'm not sure how he structured, so I won't put it down. But he has into his church, he has imported in his church Ralph Neighbor. I know Ralph Neighbor very well. He was one of my professors who came in to teach on the Touch program long, long ago. And he is a tremendous speaker. At one point, he was even an associate evangelist with Billy Graham. So he really knows how to speak. He has a gift of speaking. Very touching, very moving when he speaks. Ralph Neighbor has come in to work for that church. So if you examine churches that grow, etc., you got to be more detailed in your examination. Have they got important ministry? Who are the important ministries? And if your answer is that, well, they are important ministries, then in a sense it's an important revival. I mean, that's okay. I'm not saying that's not okay. It's an important revival. As we know, revival can be exported. I go Mangal, come here, exporting Sabah revival, or any Sarawak revival. Or Paul and Barnabas, Antioch was having revival. Your revival exported from people from Jerusalem. So exporting the revival. Praise God, import-export business. So you export and you import. So the question is that there is a stage where there's import. However, you cannot permanently depend on import. Just like any country, any good national leader, president, prime minister, will know that your country cannot permanently depend on import. If it does, it is in a very, very risky position. Now, some countries are very small, so they thrive, which is why now the government of Singapore is very smart. It is a nation that depends on all other nations. It has no resources but its own people. And so, the government having foresight is now telling the people, well, don't be satisfied with Singapore being successful. Don't. Get out there and begin to expand your business. Export. Now, when you export, what happens? People depend on you. And in the next 50 years, the nation still can survive. Because when you export, you buy land, you buy property, in a sense, you buy other countries, portions of it. And they depend on you. These are all called foresight. They are very good planners. They are real nation builders. And these are areas where the question we examine, how much is dependent on import? In our church, meal. Maybe the first year, the first 3 years, we had some. But now is the point of zero. Even our own church people prefer locals to import. Doesn't mean that we are nationalistic or anti-foreigner. I think that's also a low attitude that needs to be dealt with. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't believe in nationalism. The only nation we have is the Christian nation. It's born again. We are a new nation. Nationalism is a kind of fight which also has to be dealt with. It can be patriotic, but don't go overboard. And it's more to develop strong churches. And we need import. Now, we find that when your church grow, you need different quality of fivefold. When that church was first growing, you could have a certain level, right, from 1 to 10. Nothing to do with the first fiddle or second fiddle. You know, the level of anointing or reach. 1 to 10 means, roughly, if you can get it, how many people they minister to. Some ministers can minister only to 100, some are 200, some are 300. And this also has to do with ability, some to 1,000, right? Etc. So when your church first starts, you should be able to walk on. I mean, straight away you're starting the church, you don't go and write to Ben and hey, can you please come and help me start my church? In the first place, he doesn't know who you are. Right? It's different. You depend on different levels. But the higher these people are, the harder to get them. There's too much in demand. And so you still welcome these people, but to a certain level, if your church starts growing, and anyone at this level comes, we have a lot of people at this level who now want to come. I suspect one of the reasons is because we give good offerings, but anyway, that's another story. And what we do now, we just let them have some of the whole fellowship. If they're good. If they're not good, we may not have them at all. Or if they're good, and at that certain level, they need 200-300 people, we send them forth to other 5-4 ministries. To either other churches that are there. They say, look, this is a good speaker, would you all like to have it? Right? And not that they're sending the bad ones out. You know? Hey, you don't want that, now you want that. Take it. It's also a wrong attitude. And that is why I figure that if it's not good for me, it won't be good for any other people. That should be our thing. So that should be it. And we have people who come. I mean, the people like ALG. I mean, ALG is not really here. In the United States, it's probably somewhere here in Europe or somewhere here. Right. Of course, people can say, I've been to India, I preach to 20,000. Well, one of us can go to India and preach to about 1,000 now, straight away. Some of you Bible students, go in team right now, you can have 2,000 people. I mean, contextual. Let's be contextual in our impact. And so, at different levels, we need different levels of impartation. And that's why at the level that we are, we do correspond, we do write to people. Of a bigger scale, and we invite him to come. Shane Bach and Howard Brown says he's praying about it. He hasn't come into this area yet, and other areas. At our level, when we write, they have also heard about it. They know it. And one of them asked Howard Brown whether you know Peter Tan. He said, I heard that name. So, and he hasn't read any of my book yet. But only his associate had. And a lot of his associates are reading my book. So at that same level, you could invite. It's a different rank. And so we move in accordance to rank. And why do we need to move to that level to invite? Why can't we in small church straight away invite so that we can speed up everything? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Your church is 100. So you invite them to come. I mean, and you have a stadium. Of 20,000 people. Look, they're not enough. If everyone in the church becomes ushers, not enough also. Some of them become musicians. You can't handle that. And that is why, if you're a small church, you want to do something big, there's still a way. Group together. Correct? You group together with smaller churches and then do it together. But grouping together is a different story. Sometimes you have a small church grouping others together, but a small church is very selfish. When Bill Hammond came to Malaysia, one of the first questions he asked is Peter Tan involved? I didn't invite him, somebody else invited him. And he said he would like Peter Tan to get involved. Because he said that, the organizer had to contact me. So he contacted our church, and say that they like us to be a part of it. So we wrote back to them and said that while we don't mind being a part, tell us what we need to do and tell us what our responsibilities are and the contributions that we need to bring. You know what the reply is? Oh, you don't need to do anything. Just let us use the church name. And so I make a stand. I say their attitude is wrong. We're not going in. But For my church members, because it's a good ministry, I say, let them go. Remember this thing, never stop your church members for going where they want to go.
And so, I make a stand. I say the attitude is wrong, we're not going in. But for my church members, because it's a good ministry, I say, let them go. Remember this thing, never stop your church members for going where they want to go. Because if you stop them, they still go. Don't waste your time. They learn all these things. Let them go. And if you teach them well, you feed them well, they have studies on your team. Nothing to be afraid of. And when you're gifting and draw the people, they can go anywhere, but they, like Paul said, they can never replace the kind of spiritual relationship you have with them. You can go to a hospital, you can go to a restaurant, but you know where your house is. So hospital is a deal, right? Go to a restaurant that has nice different type of food. I mean, they want hot curry on their side. No problem, because you don't like to serve hot curry in your church, let the other church serve hot curry. No problem. Right? But they know which is restaurant, which is hospital, and which is home. Praise the Lord. So it's important to know that fact. For me, when I participate, it's not that we want control. I think that is also unfair. But what we want is that it must be fair. Most churches, many little churches that organize something big, I find the good thing there, selfishness is still there. They are thinking of using that meeting to build their own church so that when they have a meeting of 20,000 people, their church make a name. Their church became famous. And more of the what I call unchurched people or the church hoppers or people who anyway move on church to church and unchurched but born again will fall back into their church because they say, well, if they could do this, then something like that church, and they begin to remain in the church. The fact is, if your church has a gift, it's okay. But if they go and after 6 months, after 12 months, they find that, well, there's really not much, there's really a problem here, that's why they kept. If the same problem will take your church mom at 200 and never go stagnant for years and years, even if you have a big meeting, like 20,000 people meeting, and you fall back after the meeting, you grew to 400 people, but the root problem that kept you at 200 is still there. After some time, this 400 will reduce back to 200, plus minus. And you've got to do something new, unless your structure changes to contain the 400 people. Because in the essence of it, it's not getting the people. It's the structure containing it. The Christian. That's an important fact. And Calvary has to a certain extent have a lesser dependence on external ministry. I mean, Prince is a good preacher himself and a good evangelist. And you hear him preach, he's a good evangelist. Pastor evangelist. He may not be a teacher, but he can preach an evangelistic message very passionate. And it is important to understand how he should stand, where they stand. And just be faithful to what God called you to do. Remember, consistency, perseverance. If you just faithfully keep being faithful to your gift, your calling, doing God's perfect will, if God's will for you to grow, you will grow. You will continue building, you will continue growing. Somewhat, no? Yes. Okay. SPSC was more to do with the leadership and selfishness. Then to get the devil, whether the Christians or ministers. I thought I'd leave that out. I just thought about it as a state, actually statistical problem. So the main problem is number one, the structure. Number two, the fivefold. It is, as we have done our study, it is a fivefold that keeps the church growing. Which is why I say, if there's a law that says no foreigners can come in, then you can see the difference between all churches. Churches that depended on important ministries will suffer. Churches that their own localized fivefold ministry are going to grow faster, comparatively speaking. In the end, you cannot run away from the fact you need local fivefold. And that also is a reality when some of you go out as missionaries or to plant churches in other places. In the end, it's the locals who have to take over. Because you are only a visitor for some time. Unless you also become a local, you really call, you leave, you die, you bury there. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I live. Where you die, I'll die. Where you be buried, I'll be buried. All right, good. Then it's different. You are prepared to become localized. Paul, in a sense, became localized in Antioch. That's a different story. If that is possible. Or you are someone who is imported. Who is imported permanently. Your destiny is to die in the local town. All the rest of your life. Then it's different. A totally different story. First, the Lord. Are there some interesting observations? We observe all these things and we are positive about every church. Every church has their positive aspects, and we remember that you cannot reach the whole nation alone. If you're interested in reaching the whole nation, why not examine every church, see its strength and its weakness, understand it, and then come up with your own style, your own thing. And style, patterns, and all that are established by the Bible, but they're adaptable based on the condition that you are going to plant your church or your group. You got to flow and examine it. Yes. Okay, one of the root problems that I found when churches come together, whether big church or small church, is they fight over onward. Big problem I found. And when we took part in the Lanak Bongke meetings, and Lanak Bongke came and the thing, you know what happened? What was actually happening when people were coming forward? People were rushing to get those new people to their church. Of course, the anointing was there, everything was there. But if you know me now, I'm always interested in the essence. I'm a person not interested in the church, in the outward form. I want trueness, sincerity, reality. I don't like something plastic. That's why in my office, all the flowers are real. We have a few plastic here and there left over old church, old office. I want reality, sincerity. And it's sickening. I mean, whenever someone goes forward, whether it's a backfire Christian or anyone more again, oh, you could find a Christian. This is mine. Who's zooming? Something is wrong. Rotten attitude, I call it. Yes.
I don't know whether they use the same system here. Yeah. In Singapore, if the more counselors you send, you will get all the people in your church. So this is what happened. Maybe they use the same system here, I don't know.
They use the same system. And so the more enough. So it's what I call, they fight over converts, and it's what I call free for all. For all. Ready. These people are carnal. I mean, this is a Corinthian mentality. Don't you think of this Corinthian mentality? They don't understand that you can't keep what God doesn't give you. Even if you steal, you try, you formal, and you coerce them to come to your church, in the end they cannot stay. Anything that you try to grab and take that is not given by God, you cannot keep. Look at the book of Acts, you say the Lord added. Who added? The Lord added. The Lord gave. Now don't quote Job, the Lord gave and the Lord take it away. Job didn't know there was a devil. He didn't know there was someone taking away. He didn't have the revelation or the exposure of the devil. The Lord adds, the Lord multiplied, the Lord's hand was upon them. If you understand this truth, that all growth comes from God, and it comes because you got your basic structure and the basic gifting there, then these things are just, to you, is just bonus. So our instruction to our people is, don't grab. You just participate so that you can be part of the body of Christ being one. But if people want to take, give up. If they send any name to us, then they visit. But if you don't want to go in that, don't do all these things that people are doing. They organize that. And partly the church. The organizer was not a five-four minister. A businessman. Yes.
What
you say is very true.
You try to get money and you
get money. Oh, how many say? Don't you think that's a waste of effort? Right. So you don't you really look at it? Is it a waste of effort? How many of you want to go and open a store, you know, every day, cook, you know, open, sell something about nasi lemak, you know, like my brother Lee's going to eat all the time, and, you know, forever. And then at the end of the day, all your effort, you're back to square one, you never have extra money, you're back to exactly the same amount of money. Don't you think it's frustrating? This is what frustrates a lot of people. They're not going to the root essence of church growth and revival. They're going for what I call the decorations, the cream. I mean, you buy a cake and you cut it, you know, it's so big, and you cut it, lo and behold, the whole cake is just cream. You can be disappointed. You want the cream to be just the decoration. Keep the cream, the cream. Go for the main thing. Imagine the essence of the cake there. And the root problem for the organizer was not a fireball. In fact, what many people do not know, when the person wants to sing, he's a very nice guy, the front man of the coordinator of the handball set, Slim Man, I forgot his name. I just forgot his name. Anybody know him? He made a trip, a preliminary trip, and he had a target. You know who he visited? He visited Prince, he visited Nehemiah, he visited SGA people, and he visited me. He came to my house and he actually asked me to head the organization. I'm not making it up. He came to my house, I was staying in Taman Mega that time. And he sat with me, and after seeing all those people, he asked me to head the organization. At that time, I didn't feel too comfortable and too ready. And I said, look, and I was very frank with him. I'm a very upfront man. I said, if you ask me to organize, a lot of people may not want to come in. Anything Peter Tan get involved, some of the others just don't like Peter Tan because they just don't like him. Will not be in. You just don't like the mention of, the mention TOG, people's face either smile or frown. So I said, I was very honest with you, he's an outsider. I was not trying to stretch that, but I was being really safe, you want to organize something here. I need to tell him honestly. Now we have passed that stage. But at that time, now we have passed that stage. A little bit more established now, more accessible. But at that time I said, look, when I organize this, there will be some groups that don't want to come in. And I said, I know Reinhard Bonke wants as many to come in as possible. So I said, why not get somebody who can bring as many denominations in as possible if that's your objective? And our church can be one of the churches participants. So I gave him a choice. And I said, if you ask him to do it, there will be some who just say no, not because of Reinhard Bonke, but because of me. And because of me, they are not blessed by Reinhard Bonke's ministry. And that was what happened. See, I was very realistic with him. I believe we can see that the crowd. No problem. But whether I get the ecclesiastical structure behind is a different story. And because I understand all this Christianity and church politics and I get sick and tired of this kind of thing, when I go to a place, I don't care. And I say that whether you want to come or don't want to come, even if I got one church there, we'll still do it. And in fact, I'll be in a position that if none of the churches come, then we'll just go and organize it if God sends us there. And if you still don't want to come, you set up a new church. So I had tried my best to be interdenominational, to try to minister to everybody, but I found that I could not. I either had to play a full-time diplomat or I can be a fivefold. David Duplessis is called to be a full-time diplomat. He can. Some people have the call. All their lives are going from place to place. You know? Hello there. See everybody happy. See everybody nice. Some people can be called to that. I'm not. The people who are third to the law, many second to the law, they can be that area, but I'm not. I'm called to change the place. And when I went to Singapore, one of the biggest churches sent a leader to see me. And in a friendly way, like, not to confront, but of course behind it, God. So he came to me, Calvary Church, Stewart has, he was away because of some internal Singaporean problem. and now he's died. But at that time he was off, and Pastor George E. was in charge, and a group of that. So they make an appointment to see me. Five of them together with me, we have breakfast together. He wants to find out what is in my heart, because there were people in his church that were being touched by the meeting. And so I told him my vision. So look, I come to bring teaching. My goal is to teach the people, establish them, make them stronger in each one of the churches, be blessed. And he says, why don't you do it by getting all these pastors? I look him straight in the eye and say, you're a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. It may take me 10 days if I work that way to try to get everybody. Because 75% of the time is playing PR and diplomacy. Am I willing to take 15 years? If I take 15 years, I may succeed. I keep having lunch with the Anglican bishop. I keep having lunch with the Methodist bishop. I mean, after 20 lunches, you probably like me. That's it, right there. I mean, there is such a thing. I mean, it's reality. There's a reality of PR. Where our outside is for persecution. Inside, and then after some time, become your friend. By being for them. I mean, we all know all these things. We are still good. We are experienced in life. They're not lonely, sir. Even the worst enemy, I mean, you keep seeing them being here for life, sometimes there's an emotion. But whether I'm called to those things is a question. And whether I have such a time as that to do that. So I told him, looking, I said, look, I don't think I can take that time to do it. And so what I will do is I'll just have my own organization, set a meeting, anyone who wants to come, come. And those who come, and you can hear it during my meeting in Singapore, I keep encouraging them to go back to their own city. And so we did it. We did it our own way. And I don't have time to play church politics to try to win over the leaders. Because some of the leaders are more stubborn than the sheep. It's funny. You know, I thought sheep should not be stubborn. If the shepherds are more stubborn than the sheep, we'll examine them because they may be good. That's easy, huh? And they're coming too slow. It is possible to do anything given the amount of time. So I believe you can do anything in a lot given the sufficient amount of time. But sometimes time is short and you just don't have the amount of time to spend. And that is why in the end I left my denomination, because I recognize that it will take me a long time. By that time, how long? You know, a lot of beard and all the Chinese who start coming out, in and out, serving out. And by that time, maybe 50 and I have tremendous Baptist church. I may be 50 years old by the time I have a Baptist church of the size that we have now in Tabernacle of Glory. But whether I have the time or not, all things are possible. Just a matter of time. Slowly, steadily. Right? And then slowly, steadily, either they change or they die off the next generation. Praise the Lord.
Now tell me, at the first
time,
probably they were
doing what you suggested.
They were open to all
the
church
leaders.
I don't know what happened.
They gave up.
Because
they found you cannot succeed.
Yeah, they only say that when they did. In fact,
it's a hard task. Let's be realistic. We're all Bible students, we can be real to one another. It's a hard task to unite churches, at least practically. But let me encourage you, it's easy to unite a church. You get an anointing, you got a gift, wherever you are. Tanjung Rambutan also they come. Can I show you? The sheep are hungry. And then the wilderness of the town. Okay, this is the secret. You put pressure on the churches with the sheep. Not purposely. When the churches are in danger of losing all their sheep, guess what? The leaders will sit up. Either they change or all the sheep are going to leave them for another place, etc. It's called denominational pressure from underneath. And they know it's a reality. It's easy to unite the body of Christ, the soul. And that is the way God has told me to do. Go, just treat, or send the hungry people there. And some hungry leaders there too. And those who don't want, don't waste time. And God will deal in His own time. And He'll send the right people with the gift of diplomacy. Not to say that you don't have the gift of diplomacy, you just don't have the time. And who are the call of diplomacy, to work on that. Slowly, steadily, they'll come. So this is a reality that we are facing in this area. Praise the Lord. Oh, it was for all. In DBS auditorium at Shenzhen Way. Yes. It was for the body of Christ. We did have a lot of leaders come and go. And what in the end what happened was that a lot of the leaders come incognito. In other words, I usually welcome the leaders because I'm open-hearted. Whatever denomination, I say, if you want to come openly, then come, sit in the front, and when I minister, feel free to minister with the free need. I never stop them. But some of them are afraid of what I call identification and receiving the same criticism and persecution. I find that a lot of leaders are afraid of persecution, misunderstanding, and criticism. Put it this way, when you friend a friend, you also get their criticism and persecution. There was a latest book by on Captain Kuhlman. I forgot the author. What's the book? Is the book there? Oh, it's Nancy. Nancy, what's the title of the author? The author of the book, Captain Kuhlman, the name of the book. It's a new book. Wayne Warner on Captain Kuhlman, the latest book. And that's a good book because it gives more inside story. And for us in the ministry, we're not interested in the outside story alone and church. The reason is we all are dealing on the inside. I mean, the body of Christ in general, they're just interested in the outside story. They just come, let's go, come, let's go, come, let's go, come, let's go, and let's back. They're interested in the inside story. And that book gives a clearer picture of what happened. You know, all through her life, there was controversial. There were pastors who went against her. They wrote things against her. Newspaper reports all against her. When I read that book, it reminds me of Paul. And one of the hardest things my friends accept in the ministry is if you are doing the right thing for God, all those who are not walking with God don't like you. When you are in revival, a lot of people will love you who love the Lord. But some people who don't love the Lord or who are half-hearted the Lord actually hate you and they may do things against you. The sad thing is as long as the world is a world, this continues to happen. Although, like Paul, the Lord will deliver you out of persecution. Let me tell you one of the reasons why we are controversial all the time, and we keep being controversial all the time, without even trying, just preaching the word, because you're doing the right thing. It's affecting people's lives. One of the articles that we wrote in the Glory News that received the most letters is an article on the communion of the saints. Oh, even church leaders have that ruffled. But let me tell you something. It's also the article that we have the most letters coming in of people saying they help them. Telling you the inside story, the things that help people a lot are also the things that ruffle the feather of some who don't walk with God. A common accusation. They always say it's wrong, but they can't prove it's wrong. I have even bishop ringing up. I have main leaders. I have never had that kind of people calling me up. I mean, at that level. And so I joke with Paul Arm and say, now even the bishop are taking me. And now we don't try. We were just sharing an experience. And then we have some leaders who wanted to see me, thinking that, look, they have gone wayward, they have gone the familiar spirit. And one among them, they contacted Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee is a good friend, and he used to call me up. And so he said, this person, they don't dare to see me directly. I don't know why, whether fire will fall on them or what. But they go to somebody else who knows me. And so I'm very fair, I'm a very fair person. I say, fine. So that we don't get emotional, because we're talking about spiritual experiences, we're subjective. If they feel, and the accusation was wrong teaching, wrong doctrine, okay? And it is unscriptural, just use the word unscriptural.
Sibole, Sibole. I say, fine. Number one, these are my requirements. Before that, if I were nobody, whether requirement or not, they would call me in a carpet. But I'm in a different situation. I say, number one, I want them to write down in a letter form all the things that they think are wrong and tell me why from scripture. And I said, Dr. Lin, you can be the winner. I will reply in writing first. Word for word, quoting scripture. And having established that, then we can sit down. And do you know the silence then? Is it unscriptural, but don't know how to put it down on paper? Because I know it's not unscriptural. I could prove it from the Bible. It's just throwing seaballs and seaballs out. It's easy to call people cows. Today, very few people dare to call us cows. But when you're nobody, they dare to call you. Today, no more. Slowly, the persecution also changed. Last time, they dare to call false prophets. Not so much. Now, they try to slam you a bit. Maybe this is a bit slamming spirit coming in. Different form. Because they also know that you can throw big stones back. So it's a bit different. And in fact, the bishop wanted to see me personally. And I was sad. So I said, wait, you know, we don't have to waste time. Right? What exactly is it? Let's discuss it. So he told me all these things. So I share with him these other things. So it's an interesting life that you live. What is the law? And so before we close and continue on the next section, let me just show you some things that they wrote about it, Apostle Paul, or said about Apostle Paul, so that you can be highly encouraged by his life. Acts, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24. And these are the accusations of the Apostle Paul, one of the foremost ministries. And just to encourage you, if you do the right thing, the next generation will always look back to you. The people who persecute you will die off and they're forgotten. If you do the right thing, your life and your works will live forever. And continue to change life. Doesn't matter what your generation says. Usually you do the right thing, the next generation accepts you. Then the persecution you receive are usually from those of your generation. The next generation usually are different. They view you differently. Because by that time you become the senior, they are still the junior. Praise God. But seniors and seniors, they can quarrel. Praise the Lord. Acts 24. Look at what they say about Paul. Verse 2. When he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation saying, he is a great talker. Seeing that through you, we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, and we all thankfulness. In Malaysia, we call it angkat. Verse 4. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us, highly diplomatic and polite. Verse 5. For we have found this man a plague, a disease, sickness. If you don't have the cross reference and you don't have the context, and I just pull out these words and write down, you wouldn't realize you're talking about Paul. We found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among the Jews through the world, and a ringleader. Actually, you're saying a gangster. Of the set of the Nazarene. He's a gangster, the rest are all gangsters. He's a kingpin of the gangsters. He even tried to profane the temple and received him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But Commander Lysias came by great violence, took him out of our hands. All these things after a fantastic revival that changed the whole of Asia Minor. And that is why we encourage you, if you can't live with rejection now as a Bible student, then you're probably not prepared to change the world. When you change the world, you rock the boat of comfort of people around you. And you don't change it. And you can live and die without changing society and the sisters around you. And you have to change, be prepared for the flag that they throw against you. And if you're dying to self, those things don't affect you anymore. All you want to do is do God's perfect will, live it, and that's it. And in heaven, that's a different story. Hallelujah! And the Lord did say that when they persecute you and revile you, rejoice in Luke 6 because your reward is great. Great reward in heaven. Hallelujah, there's a different story up there. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Establish us, O God, and cause us to know you, love you, worship you forevermore. Father, we pray that you give us understanding, mercy, and grace. Most of all, Lord, you take the fear out of each one of the lives here. Fear of rejection, fear of persecution. And you take away the pain of their hearts that need healing, but some of them, they need inner healing because they need to feel accepted. They need to feel that they are recognized. Father, we know, Lord, that all these things are needs in our soul. And once we know who you are and we know who we are, then we can go to the world and tell the world about what you have done. We give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen.